All right, Ms. Wolf.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I'm Fern Wolf. I represent Noreen Andrews, the appellant in this employment discrimination and retaliation case. The District Court granted summary judgment, and we're asking this Court to reverse and remand for trial. I'm going to focus on one of the elements of the case, since it was so central to the District Court judge's determination on summary judgment, as well as Cracker Barrel's arguments, and that is adverse action, meaning did Noreen Andrews quit or was she involuntarily terminated? There are substantial issues of fact in that regard. First of all, Noreen Andrews emphatically denies ever quitting, and there is nothing in the record showing that she submitted a resignation letter or that she said
you,
to somebody.
You just don't show up for 3 weeks. There might be a kind of a hint that you aren't doing excited about the job.
She was on an approved 3-week vacation during that period. Her store manager, J.J. Stewart, told her that she could take her 3-week vacation.
And then what happened at the end of the 3 weeks?
At the end of the 3 weeks, she was not scheduled for anything. And then at the end of, after a couple of more weeks, while she was on vacation, she was calling Stewart about getting back on a schedule, because waitresses are on schedules. They don't necessarily have regular hours. And so she was calling. She called a couple of times, and Stewart said, "I'll call you." And he didn't call, and then 2 weeks later, she gets a notice from Cracker Barrel and just saying, "This is your check, and we're sending this to you upon termination of your employment because this is your the vacation pay you are owed." She was not told that it was a conditional payment or a conditional termination. She was just told, "This is your termination of employment." In the meantime, well before what appears to be within 8 days of Noreen Andrews going on her vacation, her 3-week vacation, Cracker Barrel started processing Andrews' termination, with the termination date being December 21st, 2007, which is the day, her last day of work before she went on her 3-week vacation.
Well, that's because she asked for a transfer to the other location. And it was approved, apparently, or...
Well, she was told, J.J. Stewart told her that she was transferred and that the transfer was approved, but all of Cracker Barrel's records, and in 3 places, say that the termination was not due to transfer to another store. The termination was because she had resigned with 2 weeks' notice.
Right, but she didn't show up at either location at the end of her vacation give me a schedule, I'm ready to work.
Well, she asked during her vacation, and she wasn't... Not only was she not on any schedule, but she couldn't have been on any schedule because Cracker Barrel's records showed that she had been terminated December 21st, 2007. So she was never going to make it on a schedule. She was terminated, and then she gets this note in the mail saying, "Here's your final vacation paycheck." So that's what she assumed she was terminated because she was told she was terminated.
Well, right, voluntarily from her original location, and then the question is, whether she showed up and presented herself for work at the alternative location where she thought she had a job.
She did not terminate
voluntarily. She wanted the transfer.
She did want the transfer.
So she said, "I don't want to work at this location anymore. I've got too many problems with this J.J. Stewart, so I'm going to go work at the other place."
And
Stewart, so she voluntarily quit there.
She never
with
quit.
With the 3 weeks leave.
She did not quit Cracker Barrel at all. And what Cracker Barrel did was process her as though she had quit the entire corporation of Cracker Barrel and say that she had quit with 2 weeks' notice, which she hadn't done. She never said, "I don't want to work at Cracker Barrel anymore." And while she was on vacation, she spoke with Stewart, and Stewart said, "I'm working with Mount Vernon," and he said, "I'm going to work, I'll call you. I'm going to get you hours," is what he said. "I'm going to get you hours back at our Cracker Barrel at Caseyville, I'll give you a call." So she did not quit. She did not voluntarily. Cracker Barrel is one big company. She did not quit Cracker Barrel. Stewart told her, which was probably false, that she had transferred, but she hadn't, because Cracker Barrel's interrogatory answers show that Andrews was fired out of the Caseyville store. They say that she worked for Caseyville through January of 2008. So there was no transfer. Noreen Andrews may have thought she had gotten a transfer, but she hadn't. Instead, she got fired. And she got fired at least by December 29th, 2007, which is while she was on vacation. And she was, and the records show that her firing was effective, or her, she was actually fired December 21st, 2007. So she had no opportunity to get back on a schedule. Even
well, she wasn't actually terminated from the company until sometime in January. Right?
No, she was terminated from the company. The company's position is that this one document says that she wasn't terminated from the company until January 11th in 2008. But a jury could find differently because on that very document, it says the only reference to January 11th, 2008 is date entered. But it says date of termination, December 21st, 2007, reason code 76, quit with 2 weeks' notice. So date entered is something Cracker Barrel has never explained, and it appears to be just an administrative entry for Cracker Barrel, and we have evidence of other people who were terminated on, you know, day one and then day three or day 15 or whatever, then Cracker Barrel gets around to entering it. Why they do it that way, they don't say, but it could be they don't want to pay out the vacation pay until later, or it could be somebody just doesn't get around to it, but it was already in their system on December 29th, 2007. I think that's at Appendix 227. So Cracker Barrel had already set the termination in motion on December 29th. There was no transfer. That was something J.J. Stewart was just telling Andrews. But there was no transfer because in interrogatory answers, Cracker Barrel says that Noreen Andrews was worked for the Caseyville Cracker Barrel from October 99 through January of 2008. So she
was. Assuming there's enough evidence for a jury to so conclude, is there enough evidence? What's your best evidence of discrimination?
In terms of race discrimination, the best evidence would be J.J. Stewart's statements that he was going to have the first all-black Cracker Barrel or I'm going to get me an all-black Cracker Barrel. The best evidence in terms of race discrimination was his mocking Noreen Andrews, you know, bending over, hunching over, calling her old woman, saying, hey, Grandma, why don't you stay home with your grandchildren? Why don't you retire? And there's also evidence of retaliation. And I should add that the district court didn't even address two of our counts on retaliation, which are counts 3 and 6, which deal with the retaliation based on her recent complaints of discrimination. J.J. Stewart said to Noreen Andrews in September 2007, I know you're going to sue me. What can I do to get rid of you, get you out of here, get you to transfer? I see I'm in my rebuttal time. There's no other questions.
Thank you, Ms. Wolf. Hensler?
May it please the Court. John Kinsler on behalf of the Appley Seabox West, Inc. I may just focus in on just a couple points here. And I think it's important to note that while there has been a theory that's put out here by Ms. Andrews trying to get around several admissions, key admissions that she made in her deposition and made in the case, I think some of the questions from the bench were spot on. The idea here is that this district court correctly found that Ms. Andrews had voluntarily resigned her position. Despite admitting in her deposition that she was never asked to leave Cracker Barrel, that she announced to her coworkers and to management at the Caseyville store the exact date that would be her last day at the Caseyville store, that J.J. went and found her some hours at the other store, the Mount Vernon store, presented those to her, and she rejects those hours. And then after that, she never bothers to leave a message for or to speak to any manager at the Mount Vernon store. She goes on her vacation, that's correct. But after that period of time, she never comes back and she never works at any other Cracker Barrel store. In fact,
at the end of that 3-week vacation period, was there a direction from the company to return to one of the other stores, either store?
There was no direction because when she was at the Caseyville store, she indicates to management, I am done with Caseyville. She puts in her notes, this is my last day at Caseyville.
What about Mount Vernon?
That's the interesting thing. She admits in her depositions she never speaks to any manager, and she never, by the time that she goes on her vacation, she has no hours at Mount Vernon. She has never spoken to a manager at Mount Vernon, and she has no start date at Mount Vernon. She has nothing at Mount Vernon. J.J. allows her to go on that 3-week vacation, and I think that's central to one of the points that counsel for Ms. Andrews made, is that There is no way that she was terminated on December 21st, 2007. Had she been terminated on December 21st, 2007, she would have been paid for all of her vacation. She did not get paid for all of her vacation at that point in time. She was allowed to take a three-week paid vacation. That is absolutely undisputed. At the end of that three-week period, she had not worked at any given store for Cracker Barrel. And so at that point in time, she gets administratively terminated out of Cracker Barrel's system because they just can't let employees hang out there forever being on their roster, on their roles. She gets terminated after a three-week...
benefits during that roster period?
Yeah, so during that period of time, and that's why the council slightly says in a different way, the responses were that she remained employed. She was not working at the store, but she remained employed. She goes on a three-week vacation, which is a paid vacation, and she's paid for that period of time. Then the administrative termination kicks in because she has not worked anywhere for a period of time, and also because she's announced. She's announced that she has...
At the end of the 3 weeks, is she supposed to appear at Mount Vernon on the day after the 3 weeks and say, am I to work that day?
Well, she has, and her notes reflect this very clearly, she has discussions with J.J. Stewart saying, look, I want to transfer to Mount Vernon. And I'm going to make December 21st my last day at Caseyville. She does all that before she has any discussions with anyone at Mount Vernon, any hours at Mount Vernon, any start date at Mount Vernon. She actually puts in her notes that she goes to J.J. on two occasions while she's still working there and saying, look, I want to transfer. She admits that J.J. has done absolutely nothing with respect to transferring her. He's not trying to push her out in any way. He starts that process after she voluntarily requests the transfer. She comes back to him and says, you know, do you have any hours for me? He says, here's the hours I've got. Yes, I actually made an affirmative step, and I found you some hours. She says, I don't want those hours. And he says at that point in time, and it's clear in the record, at that point in time, then it's up to you. Here's the number, and here is the contact information for the Mount Vernon store. You call the manager, and you tell her what hours that you want. And she admits, I never spoke to that manager, and I never got any hours. Then after that period of time, you know, she doesn't work, and I think the district court was correct that there was no adverse action here because she quit. She didn't follow up. It's even in her notes that while she's on this vacation, as counsel points out, she calls J.J. Now, J.J. doesn't remember that conversation, but she puts it in her notes, and she says, look, it's in early January. She says, look, have you got me any hours yet? He says, no, I told you the last time we spoke that I got you certain hours, and here's what they were, and if you wanted your own hours, if you want different hours, you had to call them. But I'll tell you what, I'll make another phone call. I'll see what I can do. She doesn't ask to be put back on the schedule at Caseyville at that point in time. It's very clear in her notes that she says, if something doesn't happen soon, I'd like to be put back on the schedule. Turns out, 6 days later, J.J. is no longer employed by the company. There's only two people out there that knew that Ms. Andrews wanted to transfer, Ms. Andrews and J.J. J.J. is no longer with the company. After that January...
Did she know that at that time?
I don't think she knows that, but it's important in her notes. If you look at that, after that January 5th discussion that she has with J.J., says, okay, what's going on? He says, I'm going to look into it a little bit more, but remember, you're supposed to be calling as well. After that point in time, she admits in her deposition, and she admits in the notes that she makes, no more effort at all.
Didn't she say in those notes that she would return to Caseyville if there weren't appropriate or any hours at Mount Vernon?
She indicated to J.J. Stewart that if this didn't get worked out soon, that she would like to go back to Caseyville. And that's key because that's just a few days later is when J.J. is no longer with the company. So the person who knows this, one of the people who knows this, is no longer with the company. And it's important to note that January 5th date because after that period of time, she makes absolutely no more efforts. And she admits this in her deposition. I made no efforts at all. I didn't call Caseyville. I didn't call Mount Vernon. I didn't do anything.
What's J.J. Stewart's authority over the transfer decision?
He has absolutely none. It's basically like me, you telling one of the other judges, here, you're taking my clerk. I used to be a federal clerk. All he can do is call, and he can say, do you have any openings? That other manager at the other store will have to say yes or no, and it's entirely up to that other manager to make the transfer happen.
So he can only make a recommendation, basically.
He can only make a recommendation. And he actually went above and beyond here by even finding those hours for her. And oftentimes it would be up to that employee who wants to transfer to affect that transfer themselves. It's basically J.J., you're correct, J.J. cannot force one of his employees onto another store. He can't transfer that employee. And so I think it's very clear. Just to briefly address some of the documentation, I think the documentation is raised by counsel to try to get around some of these omissions. I think the documentation is very clear. Ms. Andrews announced her last day at the Caseyville store. Documentation was put in place. A store cannot just have hundreds and thousands of employees out there who no longer show up at work. And I think it's an important point that counsel made as well. You're talking about hourly employees. You're talking about people who are servers in restaurants. They are given schedules. They may get one day a week. They may get 0 days a week. So you can't just have an employee out there who is on your roster who hasn't worked in weeks or months. What you have is you have notations that were put in the record saying, look, Ms. Andrews has decided that her last day at Caseyville is December 21st, 2007. It's noted in the record. It's up to her then to find that transfer somewhere else. And it's just a simple notation. And the record is very clear that several weeks went by before an administrative termination was entered. And it makes perfect sense that the date of the termination was the last day you worked. If I'm scheduled for this week and I work on December 21st, that's my last date. If I'm not scheduled the next week and I'm not scheduled the next week and I'm not scheduled the week after that, it's very obvious that my termination date is the last day I worked because I haven't been working. I'm not a salaried employee. I'm not a manager. I'm not just showing up. I haven't worked. I haven't even been scheduled to work. So it makes perfect sense from that documentation that the date of the termination that's entered there was her last day of work. But it's very clear that she was not terminated on that date in any way because she was on a three-week vacation. And then after that three-week vacation is over, it's only then that she has paid out all of her remaining vacation. And so I think that's a central point. I think the briefs address the other various issues in case, and if there are no other questions, I'll ask that the opinion of the district court be affirmed. Thank you.
Ms. Wolf?
Thank you, Your Honor. First, there are no notations in the record that Noreen Andrews' last day of work at Caseyville, in terms of Cracker Barrel's documentation, was going to be December 21st, 2007. All of Cracker Barrel's records, including its spreadsheet, say that Noreen Andrews was terminated on December 21st, 2007 for giving 2 weeks' notice. The second thing is Andrews didn't know whether or not J.J. Stewart had authority to transfer her. He told her he did. And with regard to the point of what did she say in her notes, she said at the Appendix 119, and it's also in her affidavit, it's essentially the same thing. J.J. Stewart said he was going to call me. He didn't say, well, now the ball's in your court. He said he was going to call me. Well, he didn't call her. And so she gets this note that doesn't say anything about administrative termination. It just says you're terminated. And she assumes correctly that she'd been terminated or we wouldn't be here today. She would have a job. She was never put on the schedule, and she wouldn't be put on the schedule because Cracker Barrel's records show that she was terminated for giving 2 weeks' notice.
Well,
yes.
Cutting to the chase for me, Is your basic position that we have a constructive discharge because of the context of what has transpired during her employment at Caseyville?
No. We have an actual discharge on December 21st, 2007. She was terminated that date, and it was from the Caseyville store because that's what Cracker Barrel says. And it's confusing because there are material issues of fact, and a jury needs to sort through these. There's no consistent explanation from Cracker Barrel as to what happened because its records are different than what we hear.
Well, I'm not so sure that you're taking the argument that I would advance if I were suggesting a clear case of termination. But if that's your position, if you rely on the documentation exclusively, then that's your position. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. Case taken under advisement.